Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Wednesday, July 6th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Today we have on as our special guest, Wendy Campbell. She's a filmmaker, she's also a researcher, a journalist. She also was in this week's American Free Press right there. Her website can be found at marwenvideo.com. We'll let her tell that again, make sure we got it right. And she's also been reviewed in the American Free Press in October of 2002. So we'd like to welcome Miss Wendy Campbell to Wing TV.
Hi, Wendy.
How you doing?
Hi, thank you very much. I'm really pleased to be able to, share the stories and, help get people motivated to take some action against what's happening in this country.
Absolutely.
Now, before we get going here with our questions, give out your website address so everyone can find you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's www.marwenmedia.com. So that's M as in Mary, A-R-W-E-N as in Nancy, media.com. Okay. It's actually a mix of my name and my boyfriend's name. So his name is Mark, so it's M-A-R, and my name is Wendy, W-E-N, and then media.
So marwenmedia.com. We urge everyone to go there. There's a ton of articles and just great information.
Excellent articles, so, hard-hitting truth.
Yeah, so to start off, say, Wendy, in Europe and even in Canada, in certain places, it's a crime to question the official version of the Holocaust. And we know that if the ADL's hate law passes in this country, it's going to be a federal crime to question the Holocaust, even in America. So we know that the Zionists exert this control over the U.S. media, our government, even our foreign policy. So why are they allowed so much power to determine even what we can intellectually talk about and research?
Well, why? The answer, why is a very interesting question. But first I want to point out, before I forget to tell you, is that, yes, it seems as if the only thing that nobody can question is the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, my activist colleague and boyfriend, Mark Green, pointed out his sister works in Hollywood with Disney. And she gave him the subscription to the magazine The Nation.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically run by a lot of liberal Jewish writers and whatnot, but, they have non-Jewish writers, too. But at any rate, this is incredible. They allow, in their classified ad section, this ad has been going on for years and years. It's called Ancient Secrets, Proof Jesus Fictional. Scholarly booklet conclusively proves Flavius Joseph Romans created fictional Jesus, authored Gospels. Amazing, but absolutely incontrovertible, etc. Prove Jesus fictional.
Okay.
And yet, they refuse to run any ad by the Institute for Historical Review, which publishes articles about various aspects of the Holocaust, and pointing out some of the discrepancies in the story that the Zionists give out there as the Holocaust. For instance, they do mention things about the numbers are exaggerated. And by the way, my boyfriend and I went down to Miami, Florida, and you can see this in my article. It's called Zionization of Miami, and it's in my website. But so we went to the Holocaust Museum because now this has become our job, to check out this whole thing. We want to get to the bottom of all of this. So we went to the museum there, and we noticed they had all these panels with all these different names and everything on it, and my boyfriend's good at math. He discovered how many names were in each panel, then he multiplied each panel. And certainly, there was nothing like even a million there of names, not even close. And then that got us to thinking, well, is there a central database of the names of the victims of the Holocaust concentration camps and during World War II?
Right.
Well, I did a Google search. I found out that the biggest museum, a Holocaust museum, is in Israel. It's called, let me see, I have it here, I never can remember it. It's called the Yad Vashem. It's the only Holocaust museum that has a database of names. And guess what? They have about 3 million names.
Mm-hmm. And let me
add
to this.
How they died.
Let me follow up with this. Ernst Zundel, he's one of the most tragic political figures, prisoners, in the world today.
That's
and
right.
He questioned the 6 million figure of the Holocaust. So let me ask you this. What's so special about Jewish suffering in comparison to the suffering of other groups of people who are non-Jews throughout history? And what kind of impact do you think it would have on the world if the official version of the Holocaust were proved inaccurate or false in any way?
Well, those are good questions. The thing is, I think that it would have a great impact if it was outlawed to have these Holocaust museums, because I think they're actually a monument to hate. They're a monument to never forgiving. They're a monument to constantly chastising everybody for hating them for supposedly no good reason. It has nothing to do with their behavior, they always say. Jews are always innocent victims. Let's look at the history, though. The leaders of the Jewish movements have been anything but innocent victims, such as in the Bolshevik Revolution, the Communist Revolution. And apparently 20 million people died during those revolutions, and nobody worries about the 20 million figure that is talked about with that. And so I think that basically Holocaust museums are basically museums of intolerance, not tolerance, and I think they should be done away with. They should all be either transformed into something else for humanitarian cause for everybody, or, or just like sold off to the closest bidder for something much more useful to society than constantly browbeating everybody about, oh, deep down inside you all hate Jews, we know it, even if you don't know it, and you owe us big time, and that's why we have to have this state of Israel for Jews and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. By the way, 33% of Israelis are on almost permanent vacation. Jews don't really need to have a Jewish state. It's totally racist. And most of the people there have second homes. A lot of them are those settlers, those crazy settlers over there, stealing Palestinian land.
Yeah.
They're from Brooklyn, New York. Now, there is nothing special about Jews. It's just a myth. Now, the fact is they are very, as a group, very intelligent and this and that, but it has to do a lot with their culture, their beliefs. And one reason they've been able to be so successful in business is because they are such a cohesive group, unlike any other ethnic or religious
group.
That's right. Yeah.
They don't come close to being as cohesive and organized and always cross-referencing each other and help promoting each other, as they do that better than any other ethnic or religious group.
All right, Wendy, let's move on to something here that's in the forefront of the news, and that's peak oil. Now, I've written before about this, and we've talked about it on Wing TV, that we know that this is not only a massive globalist hidden tax on the people of the world, and especially Americans, but also we know that it's a creation of the Zionist media to promote Israel's agenda in the Middle East. So expand on this notion, if you will.
Well, yes. I mean, it came to my attention that the media, U.S. media, was hiding the role of Israel with regards to fluctuations in oil price. For instance, in 1973, I'm old enough to remember, I was in college, when all of a sudden there were huge lines at the gas station and this and that. And basically, this has been covered up subsequently in any writing. I picked up a newspaper, my article talks about this. It's the secret relationship between Israel and oil, what the U.S. mainstream media
article hides.
And this article about peak oil that was in the Wall Street Journal, it was free and given away, so that's why I happened to be reading it. On Alaska Airlines, usually I avoid reading all the Zionist media. But at any rate, so I was reading that, and they mentioned, oh, you know, there was a crisis in 1973, but they did not mention one word about the war between Israel and Egypt in 1973.
Right. We're going to get to that here in just a
second. And how the Arab countries, in solidarity, then they tightened their oil spigots in solidarity with Egypt, because Egypt was rightfully trying to get back its land that Israel had stolen the Sinai Peninsula in 1967.
Okay, Wendy, Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people are being committed on a daily basis. They're horrific, they're vicious, they're relentless, and these Palestinians have been attacked for more than 50 years by Jewish soldiers with high-powered weaponry of every conceivable form. So let me ask you this. They're committing genocide and ethnic cleansing over there in Palestine. Why then are we not supposed to name Jews as the perpetrators of these crimes?
Well, it goes back to the original question posed by Victor. Why? Why is this happening? Why did Jews get away with this and this and that? Well, you know what? Unfortunately, it's the gold rule, not the golden rule. These days, it's whoever has the money rules, whoever dominates the media rules, and so, unfortunately, at this time, we know that, you know, just like Vietnamese dominate the manicure and pedicure shops out here in California, and Cambodians dominate the donut shops, mm-hmm. guess who dominates the media, guess who dominates the banking, guess who dominates the gold?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, it's Jews. Let's face it, I just saw this movie 2 days ago called The Last Mogul, The Life and Times of Lou Wasserman. He was like one of the first Jewish big directors and producers, etc. Not director, producers in Hollywood. By the way, Hollywood was most definitely invented by Jews,
oh, yeah.
and it's still dominated by Jews, and this movie yeah. by a Jew came right out and said it, and even talked about the Jewish mafia. Now, can you imagine if a non-Jew had made this movie about Lou Wasserman? The ADL would be all over him.
Right.
Probably never would get distributed.
Right.
But since the Jew did it, it's okay. See, Jews can talk and boast about their power and this and that. However, if a non-Jew does it in a way that's critical, even compassionately critical, then they're shut up, they're shut down, they're ostracized, the ADL goes after them to try to make them, maybe even come under the auspices of the IRS or do anything. Death threats, the whole range of weapons they have at their dispense.
Yeah. Right.
And including coming up, like you talked about, this unbelievable thing that they want to push through that would be definitely tyranny and totally holding in our, reigning in our freedom of speech. That,
right.
what is it, the HR or something or other?
2662.
This new thing they want to call hate speech law.
Right.
Where you can't criticize Israel, you can't question anything about the Holocaust or anything like that. They're trying to make, it's tyranny. It's eroding our freedom. Talk about, President Bush is always saying, oh, they hate our freedom, talking about the Arabs. That's anything but the truth. They want the freedom from Zionist America. And Americans' freedom is under attack by these Zionists.
Okay, yeah. Victor has a question,
yeah.
Wendy.
Yeah, hang on. You were mentioning a minute ago about the 1973 oil shortage, and we remember the gas lines and so forth. Well, what we don't know about is how Israel's prime minister at the time, Golda Meir, and Henry Kissinger were working behind the scenes. They were instrumental in causing this event in the first place in relation to Israel's war in 1973 with Egypt. So briefly expand upon that and their roles in this.
Well, I just got a great new book the other day that I've just been able to look at briefly. It's called The New Jerusalem. And it's written by
Michael
a fantastic investigative writer by the name of Michael Collins Piper.
Oh, yeah.
He often writes articles for the American Free Press.
Yeah, we know him.
And he talks about that, and he talks about how basically Kissinger and even Golda Meir, basically they're agents for organized Jewry all across the world. They're basically globalists, and they have the money, the top money and all the top banking and top industries and whatnot. So working as agents for the very influential and wealthy organized Jewish group, they did go behind the scenes and had the United States help out Israel in the nth hour because it looked like Israel was going to lose the war to
mm-hmm.
Egypt in 1973. So the American president at the time, I can't remember who it was. I think, who was it? Johnson or something?
Oh, 1973 is Richard Nixon.
Oh, Nixon, yeah. So Nixon, so anyway, they ended up going over there and helping out Israel to end power. But you know what's really funny about this, Victor and Eliza, Elisa, is that, don't you remember, weren't you anti-war in the Vietnam movement, anti-Vietnam War? How come the media completely focused on that, and we hardly heard a peep? I was big in the anti-war movement during the Vietnam era, but I wasn't even at all really a aware of what was happening to the Palestinians at that time.
Yeah. Right.
I really wasn't aware of the 1967 war, even though that was around that time.
Well, let me ask you this,
the war Egypt was waging against Israel. I mean, I think they really, the Jewish dominated media in the United States played that down, played it totally down.
Right.
So it didn't come under our radar because obviously what the Jews have been doing to non-Jews in Palestine since the state of Jewish state of Israel was created, the Jewish supremacist state was created, you know, that's obviously wrong what they're doing. From day one, it's been wrong.
Well, let me ask you this, Wendy.
It's kept out of the consciousness of American people.
Wendy, we try to make the distinction here, at least we have in the past, between Zionism and Jewishness.
Right.
But can we any longer disentangle Zionism from being Jewish, since there seems to be
at the time of World War II, did people try to distinguish between Germans and Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting to the point where, yes, indeed, there was very little difference between organized Jewry and Zionism. In fact, all organized Jewry, basically, in the United States, is Zionism. I mean, let's face it, even the Jewish Voice for Peace, I joined them unknowing. I didn't even know what Zionism was at the time. I joined them, believe it or not. I was going to their meetings. Then I became quite aware I wasn't welcome, but I started to figure out exactly where they're coming from. They're basically apologists for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go after anybody except for who they need to go after. You know, they did this big campaign recently. So they're Zionists. Jewish Voice for Peace, they're Zionists. They want a Jewish supremacist state. They're just soft core about it. They're what you call soft Zionists.
Yeah.
They're not hard Zionists like Sharon,
yeah.
People like that.
Well, we know that Israel...
You know, and so why aren't they calling? Why aren't they calling for an end to the Jewish supremacist state of Israel? Why don't they call for a completely democratic state of Israel with the right of return to Palestinians guaranteed like it should be, and equal rights for all, regardless of religion, race, or sex, inside Israel and Palestine? Why not just rename the whole thing Palestine, in my opinion?
Yeah.
But anyway, there's very little distinction between Zionists and Jews these days. The only true anti-Zionist Jews that I know of are the Netzarai Karta. I did a documentary about the Netzarai Karta, Jews Against Zionism. They are truly against Zionism. Now, by the way, they also think that Jews live apart from Gentiles. However, they're not aggressive about it. They keep it to themselves. That's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Wendy, we have a lot of questions still.
Anybody going in and stealing somebody else's land.
Wendy, we have a lot of questions still, so we have to wrap this up, okay? So work with us a little bit.
Okay.
We know that Israel is a racist country. We know that it's an apartheid country. We know that there's no constitution there. It's a welfare state dependent on the United States. They don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yet we're brainwashed we're being told that they have these shared values with the United States. Why do we keep falling for this ruse?
Well, because a lot of Americans just don't know any better. And by the way, I mean, first of all, they're all so busy with pursuing their lives and whatnot, and they just believe all the stuff that they get from the Jewish media, which is the U.S. media. The United States has become the United States of Israel, so they just believe what the politicians say. Bush loves to run. They believe what they watch on the news and read the newspapers. It's easier to go along with the flow because guess what? If you don't go along with the flow, you get called a Nazi. You get called an anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm.
You might have people boycotting your business. So, you know, this is why this is happening. And, you know, what was the main thing you asked in that question?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to just go and skip Victor's. Mordecai Vanunu, he blew the whistle on Israeli nuclear arms programs, and he was kidnapped by the Mossad, imprisoned for 18 years. 12 of those years, he served in solitary confinement. He said something very profound. He said, the only way to be free is to be free of Israel. Do you think that he is considered a traitor and a security threat to Israel more because he blew the whistle on the nuclear weapons program or because he blew the whistle to Gentiles?
I'll tell you what his greatest sin was, that he converted from Judaism to Christianity.
Yep, that's a good point. That's a great point.
And that he even said that himself.
Yeah.
His own parents disowned him. He became adopted by a Christian couple from Ohio because, let's face it, the poor guy needs some emotional support.
Right. Now, with our war in Iraq, we know now that it's not for democracy, it's not for freedom, it's not about WMDs, it's not about Osama bin Laden, it's not about terrorism, it's not even about oil. This is a Zionist war, and the U.S. soldiers are the ones spilling their blood and being the scapegoats and doing the dirty work. Do you agree with this statement?
Definitely. And by the way, the figures I've been reading, I've been getting emails from people suggesting that the figures regarding how many dead American troops there are right now, it's currently at about 1,700.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there may be as many as 9,000.
Yeah,
they're avoiding getting counted because all of them, because I guess they people who are just about to be dead
mm-hmm.
to Germany or something.
Right.
They die in Germany, and therefore that's not counted as
right.
dying in
exactly.
Iraq.
You know,
so I would doubt that they're doing that kind of shenanigan. I wouldn't doubt it in one little bit.
Right. You know, it's amazing to even be able to comprehend that the Palestinian people still exist, that they know who they are, where they came from, and they're still fighting. Talk a little bit about the resistance of these wonderful people. I mean, considering what they're going through, I mean, they're getting mass murdered.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Well, I mean, I actually dated a Palestinian guy way back when, like about over 10 years ago. That's how I found out what a Palestinian was. I mean, by the way, you know, I feel like blessed in a way that I didn't read the media so much because I never got all the brainwashing. I was too busy partying and whatnot. I finally became serious later on in life. And then, I feel like I'm blessed that I have not been indoctrinated
yeah.
with all
yeah.
the crap that the U.S. Jewish-dominated media has been feeding us about, oh, all Palestinians are terrorists and this and that. When I first dated him, he told me he was Jordanian, and then later he told me he was Palestinian. I was puzzled. I said, why? Didn't you just tell me you were Palestinian? First he goes, oh, well, they call us terrorists.
Right.
This was over 10 years ago. And
yeah.
I was like, wow, that's too bad. I'm sure it's a prejudice because he was no terrorist. He was a very sweet guy. And, you know, I hate to think of him and his family. I've lost contact with him, you know, over the years. I don't even know where he is or anything. But I just hate to think of his family the way I see that they're treating Palestinians over there, stealing their land, subjecting them to...
murdering their babies.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
They're dropping one-ton bombs on apartment buildings in the middle of the night.
Schools
you want to see a
blind.
Holocaust.
Yeah.
It's happening right now in Palestine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last question, Wendy, and then we have to close it out here. Tell us why the word ZOG, Z-O-G, it stands for Zionist Organized Government, why this instills such fear in the ADL thought police?
Well, it's because, as a matter of fact, I have discovered this as well. You know, a lot of people on the right, I've always considered myself a lefty, and I still somewhat do, but, you know, now I realize those terms are kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't apply when it comes to Israel. Because the left is dominated by Jewish people, but now the right is also becoming...
Right.
They infiltrate all sides. They keep divide and conquer and all that kind of thing. But Zionist Occupied Government, that was first coined by, you know, the right-wingers who have been onto what the Jews have been up to, organized Jewry I'm talking about, organized Jewry. Now, I have an ordinary Jewish brother-in-law who I love very much. He's like your typical American. He's been brainwashed. I'm talking about the elitist, organized Jewry that know all the kinds of deception that they are practicing to try to get Gentiles to go along with their agenda, including that forced alliance, that phony alliance, called the Judeo-Christian Alliance. There's
mm-hmm.
no such thing, really. Christians are being manipulated by Zionist Jews.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, we have to...
So at any rate, that basically answers that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on today. Wendy's website is marwenmedia.com. That's marwenmedia.com.
And folks, we need to do something because the Israelis are committing crimes against humanity. They're
right.
trying to wipe out an entire race of people.
Right. So, Wendy, thanks for coming on Wing TV today, and just keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much, Victor.
Thank
and
you.
And also, Lisa, I really appreciate it.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
Have a good night.
We'll
okay, be back tomorrow.
Good work.
Okay, thanks. We'll
care.
Be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
See you.